Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Oh, it's a good day. The birds are chirping. Amen. The sun is shining. Lord's given us another day, and I'm so blessed to be here with you today as we continue through the Bible. Amen. And specifically through the book of Genesis. And specifically, we are now on Genesis 7. Amen. And we know that that the number 7 is God's number of completion, his perfect number. Amen. Love the number 7. So, and there's a lot of other good numbers, but I'll focus on 7 for today. But we see here in Genesis 7 that God's warning is about to come to completion, that he was going to flood the earth, and it is going to happen in Genesis 7. So a God that does not make mistakes introduces to us chapters ago the sinfulness of man, helps us to understand that man continues to wax more and more sinful until he just cannot deal with it anymore. And here is the completion of that situation. And at the same time, we see one man by faith believing in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, even the saving of his household. So Genesis 7 is a fascinating chapter, and it starts here, Genesis 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. All right, there's a lot here. How about, and the Lord said, you know, God speaks the things that are to happen into existence. And so when we really get a hold of this idea, because the whole Bible, but specifically Genesis in particular, is full of the Lord speaking. He spoke creation into existence. Amen. He spoke all of these things into happening. And here he is telling Noah something. And the Lord said, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So he's saying, come into the ark, you and your household, okay? And so we need to understand that when we're called by God, there are profound implications in our either response we make, whether we decide to go with what God's calling us to do, as Noah did, or we willfully ignore him, or we distract ourselves, or we turn from him. This, in this life, it just Noah was living on earth. Yes, it was much different. It was a pre-flood earth, but it was still earth. He was living here on earth. He was called by God, and the implications were great. And we're going to touch on some of those right when we come back from this break, so stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
So we see here God calling Noah to what? What does God say? He says, and the Lord said unto Noah, and notice he's addressing Noah. Okay, that's important too. God's very specific, even with who he's addressing, right? Come thou and all thy house into the ark. So the speech that God is making to Noah is for you and your house to come into the ark. And we see here that God loves to save households. You know, God, he is a righteous God. And think of this, if he's a righteous God and one were to love him and believe in him, and one, that same person were to also love their children that God gave them. And it, would it not be too far-fetched that God would bless the children for what the father had done? That's scriptural, by the way. That God will bless the generations of believers. Amen. And it goes throughout the Bible. There's many examples. One would be like the Rechabites, who didn't drink wine and didn't have certain kinds of houses. And they were very devoted to God, and the Lord responded with, a Rechabite will never fail to be before me, right? And we see that when one generation is blessed, often those blessings do pass down. Psalm 105 tells us the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. So we see that, like, there is this fruitfulness in believing God beyond yourself, and God loves to save households. But for those that won't listen to God, the inverse happens, right? So you could have, say, a wicked parent not listening to God, and the children are hurt. Amen. I grew up in a household full of drama, sin, pain, and I'm not saying my parents were necessarily wicked. I'm just saying sin had brought them apart. There was divorce there. There was all kinds of problems there. And I won't get into specifics other than to say that the fruit of that dropped down to the children. The children experienced the fruit of the parents' sin. And where did God want Noah to go? He wanted him to go into the ark, the safe place. To those that listen to God are blessings of life and peace. So you see this very simple idea here in Genesis 7:1. Listen to God. If you listen to God, good things happen. If you don't listen to God, bad things happen. Friend, let me say that again. If you listen to God, good things happen. If you don't listen to God, bad things happen. You know, we see here that in Jeremiah, for example, I have pulled this up, and I'll see if I can find it here. In Jeremiah, there's a verse that deals with people not listening to God. There it is, Jeremiah 7:13. I'm like, where'd it go? I was on my computer somewhere. Jeremiah 7:13. And now because you've done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. I called you, but ye answered not. Okay, so Jeremiah is addressing God's chosen people, the Israelites, and saying, I spoke to you. Early in the morning, I spoke to you. I spoke to you repeatedly, and you didn't answer. So what would happen if Noah didn't answer God? He would have died in the flood, him and his family. And don't put it beyond God's power to go ahead and come up with a plan B, C, D, E, on and on. God doesn't need Noah. He allowed Noah to be obedient and be blessed by him. He doesn't need him. God could have created humanity again. He could have just left it as it was and said, I'm done with humanity altogether. God is perfect. And you want to get really deep. God has foreknowledge. So he knew that Noah would be obedient. That's a whole other level. The idea of election and predestination and so forth. But beyond that, God knew Noah would say yes. And so Noah says, yes, God, I'm going to go into this ark. But if Noah hadn't, he would have been in just absolute death, right? Because he didn't listen to God. And Jeremiah is warning the Israelites there, if you don't listen to God, you're going into captivity and it's going to get horrible. You know, all the things that are sacred to you are going to be torn down. You're going to be either dead or starving or sick or corrupted or all the above. You're going to see things that you can't even imagine. All the pride is going to be stolen from you. I mean, it's just riddled with it, not just Jeremiah, but Lamentations after that Jeremiah writes. And the prophet Ezekiel, all of it is pointing to this great judgment, this heavy judgment on the Israelites. For not being perfect? No. For not being perfect to the law? No. For not listening. And what's behind not listening? Faith. You see? You know, God saw Noah was righteous. Genesis 7:1, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. That's the latter part of Genesis 7, verse 1. I've seen you righteous before this generation. See? What is righteousness? Now it is faith. Hebrews 11:7 tells us, this is New Testament now, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as seen yet, moved with fear. You see, by that could be translated by faith, by believing. Noah listened, and his listening took part to action, and he moved with fear of who? God. And what happened? Prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The heir, to be righteous, the heir of righteousness, what is it? It's by faith. We're saved by faith. Amen. And so we see that Noah in his generation was saved by faith because he believed. So Noah wasn't perfect. And again, we learn more about his imperfections after the flood. Amen. But for time's sake and for staying focused on this point, when we have faith in God, it's accounted to us for righteousness. We simply need to believe. We don't need to be perfect. And you may say, Brother Clark, you keep talking about belief. Well, here's the thing. What is causing so much problem in the world today? Is it not unbelief? Is it not lack of fear of God, not lack of reverence of God? Go into the public school, go into the corporate skyscraper, go into the marketplace, go anywhere, and you will see people walking in disobedience, and at the root of their disobedience is a lack of faith, a lack of belief. They wouldn't act like that if they knew who God really was. Amen? An ant wouldn't be so boastful in front of a giant that could crush that ant if the ant really believed in the giant. But people are walking around in unbelief, and it's leading to this situation. And for context's sake, I don't want to give Noah too much credit. It says that Noah was found righteous in this generation. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So the question is, were people righteous before God before then? And the answer is yes, right? We have people, presumably Seth, because that is the godly line, being righteous before God. Enoch walked with God, right? He was not, because he was a friend of God. Amen. He obviously pleased God. He was found righteous. Methuselah, the oldest person to ever live. Oftentimes when we are obedient to God, we're rewarded with what? Long days and long life. I think that that helps to understand, make that point. Methuselah's name has significance, etc. Noah's dad, Lamech, the good Lamech. There were people that were righteous before God in other generations. But in this generation, Noah was the only one. So that should have us to live in a way that when we look around and we see the world as it is today, which is in just abject sin and rebellion, it's celebrating the wickedness and pushing down goodness. And it seems like anything good and godly is just absolutely frowned upon. And it seems like it's so difficult to separate from the world. Like you just have to just unplug the TV or the smartphone and throw it away because everything is so wicked. It tells us that in this time, we are to still turn to the living God because he still is God. The same God at the time of Noah that was speaking to Noah is the same God that's calling out to you today to turn to him, to repent of any sin in your life, and to believe. Not to be perfect, but to believe. I don't go before God in prayer and say, God, was I perfect yesterday? I say, Lord, I believe and I'm sorry. I repent for any sin. This is my prayer. And honestly, if I could, I would do it daily. Sometimes it'll slip my mind, but I try every single day and say, Lord, I repent for any sin that's before me. Point out any sin in my life that is getting in the way between us, between you and me. Help me to understand any sin. Point it out so I don't do it again. That is my prayer day in and day out, because I believe that God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, will reveal it to me. And Noah, I believe, had the same attitude. He was fearful of God. He was repentant before God, not perfect. So we can just throw the idea of works and perfection and trying to curry favor out the window, and we can focus on this idea that even in this generation, full of just abject wickedness. You want to do something for God? You want to stand on the street corner and preach for God? You want to hand out a tract? You know, who's going to read it? Who's going to listen? Where is the revival? You know, yet we should still believe in God, trust in his sovereignty, and do those things that he calls us to do in faith, simply believing that God can and will use it. And this is the beauty of a relationship with God, is our obedience to God will help us to become more close to him, which will then deepen our faith in him as we see what he does in and through our lives. And so as we understand our true form from the dirt, sinful, broken man, as we understand our true form, as we understand who Jesus Christ is, then we have a proper relationship with God as Noah had there, and we can be used by God. Maybe it is to build an ark. You know, maybe it is to do whatever it is. I know God's not going to flood the earth again, but figuratively, maybe it's to do something like that. But whatever it is that God would have us to do, it starts with obedience and faith. And you see that in Genesis 7, verse 1, so clearly. Noah was obedient and he had faith. He feared God. And today, if we are obedient and we have faith, what can God do through us? Amazing, wonderful things, friend. Tune in next time as we get deeper into Genesis 7. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.